Welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I have the lovely Jessica Park in the studio with me. Welcome, Jessica.
Good morning.
So how's it going on in Ruby Land? What are you up to? How's she doing? All I see is pictures all over Facebook of her smiling and laughing and having a good time.
Oh, it's great. She is just a light. I mean, that's all I can say. Every day I wake up sleep deprived and she looks at me and I'm like, whatever.
I forgive you.
I forgive you.
Yeah, she's going to get away with everything when she's older.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, you've booked another great show for us today. We have the Jack Perry in the studio with us.
Hello.
With Source Point Coaching. But he's also our very own radio host of Legacy Leaders Radio. And somehow we got him on our show. I don't know how that works. But
magic. It's all magic,
it's
guys.
Magic.
It's all done.
We had to beg.
Smoke and mirrors. He's not actually here. We just have him.
Yeah, we have that voice changer right there. So, and we also have Purvi Patel with Big Squid Interactive, and she's the social media director. And I think I just butchered your name a little bit, did I?
A little.
I make sure I do that every show.
So. It's okay, as long as it's not Courtney, because I get that often.
You get how?
I don't know.
You don't look like a Courtney, if that makes me. All right. Well, Jack, we're going to start with you today. Just tell us a little bit. Tell our listeners that don't listen to your show for whatever reason a little bit about your background and your professional speaking background.
Well, first of all, I'm surprised that anybody would ever think that they have never listened to my show on Legacy Leader Radio. That's
it's like the most popular one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so. Isn't it? That's what I'm told. Just ask me. I'll tell you. No, I do Legacy Leader Radio, and the purpose of my Legacy Leader Radio show is to identify people in the community and around the world that do great things for our community. They're bringing, they develop a great legacy. What is it they do to help humanity, help people, and the things that to be recognized, people that are silent heroes. And it's been very successful. We've been on the air now since January. Yeah, we're going into our sixth month. We're getting ready to start. Yeah, going into our sixth month. I've had wonderful guests on the show, all the way from Franklin Covey, general managers, to vice president of Chick-fil-A. To
what's that, Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, you know that.
That's a small company, but I think I've heard of
it. I can just, I can hear the VP and the president going, what? Somebody just said something out there. And I've had, Cheryl DeLuca Johnson from Street Grace. I don't know if you guys heard that show last week. It was pretty surprising.
I didn't hear it. It's because I was traveling. That's the only reason I always tune in. So.
It was a show about help getting young ladies and young boys off the streets. Here in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area. So
people don't realize how big that is, and especially in Georgia, the sex trafficking and everything. It
blew me out of the water. 7,200 hits in the Atlanta area a year. Most of it is on the outside of the perimeter, mostly people with money, and it's people that prey on young boys and girls. And state of Atlanta is one of the highest in the country. So anyway, I don't want to put a downer on the whole thing, but we've had great guests on the show such as that. And one of my great guests coming up in the future is Tracy Cleary, who is a great, great personal life coach, who's been my coach for the last 5 years now. She's going to be on the show on the 16th. And let's see who else I have. I got the advocacy groups coming on for women. Now, am I going too long? Because I know how this works.
Not at all.
So you just break in and tell me to, Jack, you need to hold
on. You have that radio voice. I get mesmerized by it. So just you draw me in.
Yeah, and let's see what else. And, oh, by the way, Jessica, great call. She's got an article right there in front of her from Speaker Magazine that...
someone looks familiar in there.
Yeah,
picture of some guy.
Yeah, and so I was recently published in Speaker Magazine, about 2 million readers, and so I've been getting a lot of favorable feedback on that. And you see the article that's there is on anger management, so I talk about anger in men and in our society and how that affects us in our relationships and people. Go ahead.
Let's dig into that just a little bit. I think that is a really big thing.
Dig deep, brother.
Let's go just the elevator pitch of what this is about. Because it is men are have a lot of anger, and I mean
the worldly pressures and
It's worldly pressures, and also there's a lot of just role exchanging now between men and women. It used to be a lot more concrete, and things are changing. And guys, we don't sort of know where we fit in the whole scheme of things, and we have all this testosterone and all this stuff.
Great. That's a great great comment and great lead-in. And the impetus for all of this, on a serious note, was the loss of my father about a year and a half ago. And my dad was a very angry man. And I saw some behaviors and some actions in his life that as I got older as a young man, I started looking at that and I said, okay, something's not quite right here. And I had the opportunity that I think all young men and women should have, if they get the chance and never turn it down, is to have those conversations with your mom or dad, you know, when you know the end is near.
Yeah.
Yeah. And say, hey, look, tell me about this. Why did this happen? What was this like? You know, and why did you do this or why didn't you do that? So I was fortunate enough to have those conversations. I call them fierce conversations with my dad. And I asked him, I said, you know, I had to identify anger and myself as I grew up. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, why are you such an angry man? And he looked at me very, very quietly and very coldly. He said, Jack, I really, really don't know. I've just showed up this way. I've been this way all my life. And I don't know what to do about it. So I went on a quest, and I said, okay, I'm going to study this subject. I'm going to study about this. I'm going to find out what's going on. So I probably read over 100-something-plus books on anger, codependency, everything you can imagine from Wayne Dyer to Jim Collins to Stephen Covey to all kinds of great books.
The big dogs.
Big dogs. You know, I said, okay, what's going on here? Stuff about leadership, the Bible. And read about great works by people like Martin Luther King and Albert Einstein, people who have made changes in our lives over the years, and said, okay, what is all this madness coming from? And so I want to identify some of it in myself, and I realize that it's the bottom line to it all is fear.
Yeah,
it comes down to fear. It's fear of having our minds change, fear of being different, fear of looking different, fear of not meeting expectations, fear of not meeting expectations of a spouse, a loved one, or a child. And because of that macho stuff that you mentioned earlier, in the testosterone challenge, that I don't want to have my mind changed, or I don't want to look less than perfect, and because I don't want people to talk ill or talk bad about me, because that's not the manly thing, and I don't want to be less than what people think I really am. So we have a tendency to live our lives in a facade, and sometimes we're very good at pulling it off, and sometimes we aren't. And the people that are very good at it have a tendency to keep the anger and the rage sort of like below the surface.
And all until they can't.
Exactly right, until they can't, yeah. Until something comes up or trigger a situation. Maybe it's an intimacy issue, or it can be something with
or traffic.
Exactly, road rage. Yeah. Or yeah. And then that person you see on the outside, all of a sudden the real character, the real person shows up, and then you go, aha. That's when you get the aha moment.
Yeah.
And so I deal a lot with men's issues, and so that leads to a book that I just regret to go to the publisher next month. It's Good to Great for Men, Leaving a Life Legacy.
Wow.
Great and, title. And so we're getting ready to launch that with the help of a great friend of mine and a PR guy, and that's John Thasher. And I know he's listening right now. He's probably tweeting and texting and all kinds of crazy stuff right now. So we're ready to go to that, and then and a segment part of that book is a chapter that I just finished writing yesterday, and it's called it was chapter 19. It's called "And for the Ladies," and it's for women that are in those relationships with angry men and how they can take care of themselves, how they can identify those issues, how to identify those habits, what they can do to rescue themselves. You don't have to believe everything you think.
Yeah,
you don't have to stay in a role or a mode that other people have put you in, and then you live the rest of your life in quiet desperation. So we talk about how women can rescue themselves and get help to get out of that business.
That's huge right there, and that's looking at it from both different aspects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've seen a definite trend about, I don't know if you've seen it, is there's a lot more men's groups out there, and there are more manly groups. It's not go, let's share our feelings, but it's more, let's go fishing, let's go do this, but it gives guys sort of an outlet.
System.
What do you think about that? Or
it's excellent. I think those groups are fantastic. They're great. What I have found in my experience is that the women could see a great Oprah series, and I love Oprah. Trust me, I love her to death. In fact, I mentioned her. And I said, Oprah. You know, people give Oprah a hard time for years and years. People used to give Oprah a hard time, but you know what? She got it right.
Yeah,
she did. She got it right. And so the women will see a great Oprah series, and they go, "Oh, my husband needs to go do that." And then they drag the guy into this into this meeting or this sensing session or this holistic adventure.
Oprah told me to do this. Yeah, You're coming with me.
Oprah. And then the guy's going, "Really?
Yeah,
really." And so where's the football?
Yeah, where's the flat screen?
Yeah. So if you separate the guys from that, and you go and you separate them from that, and you go, "Hey, guys, here's why we're here." They're going to open up. They're going to talk, you know. And you always have that 10% that wants to poo-poo on things or cynical. Yeah. They're going to crap on it. And usually those are the ones with the underlying anger issues that you need to pull aside and go, okay, why are you responding this way? And those are the ones you're going to find.
Or they haven't identified it within themselves yet.
Or they have, and it's fearful because they don't want to show up in front of their buddies.
Yeah.
And it's all cool, and it's cool to do that. And so why do I think that's cool? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's first of all, a little bit about myself. You know, I was an attack helicopter pilot in the military.
No big deal. Basically, the manliest thing you could be right there.
You know, and so I've had people come at me, and I was a police officer for 7.5 years in Tucson and Tucson Police Department. And so I work with a lot of men. I work with a lot of anger issues, and then I was a combat search and rescue pilot in the military as well, before I retired. So, any man out there listening, or any woman that wants to challenge me on those manly issues, bring it on. I know what that's like. So I also know what it's like to bury soldiers. I also know what it's like to lose people in my life. I know what it's like to lose a loved one, and I know what it's like to hold it all in. And you got to have a place to go to get that out. And if you don't, what happens is it perpetuates in society. It gets worse and worse and worse. And unfortunately, it can hurt a child. It can hurt a loved one. The way you talk to a child, the way you belittle a child, the way you belittle your spouse, and especially if a child sees that, and then that person, the young lady, a young lady may see that, and in her mind, that's the norm. We call it a logic memory. And so, a young lady may grow up thinking that's the way life is supposed to be. So she may put herself in a relationship with somebody.
That's abusive.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, she's going to get that aha moment one day because she's listened to Legacy Leader Radio and realizes, you like the way I did that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
subtle.
very subtle. Then she realizes that she can be something beautiful and greater than what other people have programmed her to be.
So, Jack, I mean, you've done all this stuff. You have all these experiences in your life, and you've lived your life, built up all these experiences. How do you decide that, you know what, I'm passionate about these problems, but I'm going to go speak about it to other people. I'm going to get into the speaking gig. How do you decide to do that, or how did that come to be?
Oh, that's a great question.
It is a great question.
Yeah. We really support ourselves.
We're lifting
in the studio.
Each other up here today.
Pretty soon the table is just going to rise off the floor here. That's a great question because it was an internal voice for me. It was have you ever started doing something and you got away from it, but something kept drawing you back to it. You said, you know, this is what I need to be doing. This is this. You know, every time you tried to blow it off or rationalize it, you said, no, something is telling me this is where I need to go.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. And the more I wrote about this and the more I started diving into it, I had great people come into my life.
There's little coincidences. Yeah. I ran into this guy.
And then people said, you need to go talk about this. And I go, nobody's going to listen. I said, oh, yeah, there are people going to talk about this. And so you need to get this out there. So I did. And I was hired by a great company that I still work for, Franklin Covey, and I do a lot of their work, and that gave me the platform. It gave me the opportunity to hone skills of public speaking and to interact with audiences, and to meet a lot of great people. I'm probably close to about 3,000 in the last couple of years of people I've interacted and worked with, and. There's a lot of pain out there, not only in that world, but also people that I meet and interact with. There's a lot of pain, and I'll give you an example if I have the time here.
Definitely.
A gentleman that I've seen him twice on two speaking engagements that I've had, and for his privacy and protect him, I'll just call him Tom. His name is not Tom, by the way. And I've seen him twice. He's obese. He's sort of a shut-in, and by classic definition, you might call him a nerd, you know, and that's his name for himself, and he has medical issues. So the last time I saw Tom, he came up to me, and usually this is when you get the aha moments after, you know, you have a speaking engagement and talk to people, and then they come up to you and they go, hey, can I just talk to you for a second? And you go, sure, sure, and then you're going to get that yeah. moment. And he goes, and this is what got me, and he goes, I don't like myself. And I said, okay, Tom, tell me about it. He goes, I really don't like myself. I'm obese. I don't know how to communicate. I'm single, and I really like, there's a couple of women I really, really like, but I don't know how to talk to them because I don't know how to like myself. And I said, okay. And immediately I said to him, what's the very first thing you could do for yourself right this very moment to start on that, on a road to take care of yourself? What's the most immediate thing? And he had no idea. I go, come on, man. What's the most immediate thing you could do for yourself right now to start on a different path in your life?
Go talk to him.
And you know, that was it.
That's
and
what I would think.
And I said, the first thing is make a conscious choice that I want to make positive changes in my life. Just make a conscious choice. Yeah. And I said, tell me right now, say to me, Tom, just say to me, I choose to look at myself differently. And I said, come on, tell me. I choose to look at myself differently. And he had a hard time doing that because he's never, ever seen or ever heard anybody ever talk to him like that. So I said, the second thing you can do is those young ladies out there that you're working with, I said, just walk up to one of them. You don't have to ask them out on a date or anything. You just walk up and say, what is it? I have a few extra minutes. What is it I can help you with here at the office today, just for 10 minutes? I said, now at least break the ice and give you the opportunity to.
Now just, you're the nice guy.
Instead of being the odd person, I said, that's immediate. Most immediate thing you could do is make a conscious choice. I choose to look at myself differently. And so we gave him some help on the obesity issue and what he can do and to work on that. And it always goes and lasts for 2 or 3 days and then just drops off the radar because it's too painful for them or some people to have their mind change because they may realize, which is sad, but it's also an aha moment, is that when people realize that some of the things they have been doing in the past may not, and I don't judge whether right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just those choices they had made in their life. I said, okay, so learn from it, embrace it, and go, hey, thanks for showing up. Thank you for teaching me something. I choose to move on. I choose to make a conscious choice in my life, and this is how I choose to show up from now on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So being a speaker, it's not an easy business, and there's so many people out there that are trying to do it. They say, you know what? I can't do anything else. People say I'm good at talking. I'm going to go speak for a living, and it's really not that easy at all. Like, speak to people out there that want to do it. Give them some advice if they actually want to really, really do that instead of just thinking.
I'll tell you, first of all, have a very compelling message. Have a very compelling message. Don't just read a book and think it looks sexy, sounds good, tastes great, lasts a long time. Then you go out there and just spout the same stuff off. Have a very compelling message. What is it when people walk in and see you and they walk out of there, they go, man, I got something out of it. That's something I can use to change my life or to change somebody else's life. Have a very strong, compelling message. And then, have the compelling message. Let them know what they can do immediately in their life to make positive changes. And what is it about you that makes you different from everybody else? You can't swing a dead cat and go find 100 people to talk and pay money to go to speak. I mean, there's speakers everywhere. But you have to have the right speaker that matches to the right audience. And I talk about anger, and that's a topic that for me that resonates with me. But some people don't want to address that issue. You know,
a lot of people just say, well, I'm not an angry person. Well, yes, you are.
Well, maybe you are. So let me ask you 3 questions. You know, and they go, well, yeah. So the thing with this is on the anger management part of it is that if you're angry, you have a facade. There's a facade that shows up. And then once you can show up one way, and as I write about, is that your wife, your intimate partner, whoever he or she may be, knows you for real. But then when you show up in public, you're a different person because it's not cool to let everybody know what an ass you really are.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
public. Yeah, excuse me. And this is not FCC, right? No,
no, so not at
we're
all.
Good.
So we're good.
And so we're good on that. And but when you go home, your spouse, loved one, significant others, they really, really know who you are. And so people don't want to talk about that because they don't want to expose who they truly are, but they realize that there are things that they affect other people, especially if they take their madness and go into the workplace and they're a manager or they're a leader or they're a boss. And if they can't get a handle on who they are, and they will perpetuate that, and they will cause that and affect the organization, the team, the group, or the company that they're in. So it's very important to get a handle on that. So have a compelling message is first of all. Second thing I would tell you is for a speaker is to let them know how to get a hold of you. Let them know that they can make positive changes, and let them give them something that they want to bring you back, that they want to bring you back. And make sure that it's your message, not somebody else's regurgitated. It's your message, and you have personal and professional stories that you can associate with that message that can resonate with the group, with the team of people that you're presenting to.
Wow, definitely. So I hate to cut this short.
No,
but,
no. Oh, man. Just kidding.
Because I love listening to his voice. He has that voice.
He does. He has that voice.
But do you have any speaking engagements coming up where people can interact with you or see you live?
I do. I do have, yes, actually, I will be speaking at my church actually in July. I have a couple of private ones that I'm not at liberty to expose right now that are coming up in June. And then let's see what else. Of course, Radio X, business leader. I get latest leaders every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. And I'm always looking for great guests on that show.
All right. Well, if we get your contact information for our listeners, if they wanted to hire you as a public speaker or if they want to be a guest on Legacy Leaders Radio, do you have those?
Yes. Yes. SourcePointCoaching.com, www.sourcepointcoaching.com. You can get a hold of me there or get a hold of me at legacyleaderradio.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming in here and bringing the presence of Jack Perry on our show. We had Jack Perry on our show. I can tell people.
Have I got to leave now? Have I got to leave now? Because I really, I'm ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting in this wonderful, beautiful studio, and I'm sitting across from two beautiful women, and I'm not leaving until I hear what they have to say.
Well, exactly. Well, the undercard is done today, and now we have our headliner. She's been sitting there patiently. Nodding her head and everything, but we had some really cool stuff to talk about today. Next up on Meeting Pros, we have Purve Patel. Is that tell me how to say
nope.
that? No, I messed it up again.
It should probably just be Courtney for you.
Courtney for me?
Yeah.
Definitely. Perfect. Yeah. So tell our listeners actually how they actually say your name. So.
It's Porvy.
Porvy. Okay. I should know that. She said that before the show, and I still couldn't remember. It's just like in one ear, one out the other. Well, she's with Big Squid Interactive, and she's the social media director, which is a job that really wasn't around 10 years ago. So tell us a little bit about what you do, and tell me a little bit about Big Squid.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't around 10 years ago. It actually wasn't even around about 5 years ago. I joined Big Squid about 2 years ago, and it has been kind of a slow progress, but especially 2014 and the end of 2013, it's kind of just been really booming, especially with Google taking a look at it and incorporating it into SEO.
Yeah.
It's just been dynamic for businesses, for people, for fans. It's phenomenal what it's doing to technology. It's phenomenal what it's doing to media. It's phenomenal what it's doing to business. And it's constantly growing. It's ever evolving. And I feel like every day I go to sleep and I'm like, okay, I got it. I got it. I understand
it. Then it changes.
And then I wake up and it's completely different. Like there's something called Secret now, and it's a completely new social media device. And it's like, it's a new platform. And all you guys are looking at me like, what is Secret? Yeah, exactly. What is it? You don't know what it is.
I'm trying to figure out what Squid is.
Oh, yeah. Isn't Secret the one where you can tell your secrets anonymously through a social media site?
Yeah.
Ah, look at me. I'm trendy.
Nice.
Yeah, you are. Big Squid Interactive is an online marketing agency. So we can provide you any kind of online marketing, whether you want to, you know, boost your presence, you want to boost your social media engagement.
Up my clout score.
Yeah, up your clout score, which not many people use. But it's okay. I'll let you
ouch,
have
all right.
It.
I'm one for two.
She just timed you out.
One for two there. All right.
manage your social reputation, which is something that people need to pay attention to now.
Right.
Does that entail going in and like managing reviews and things like that in addition?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like a full service, all hands in online presence media almost. You know, it's brand reputation, it's customer acquisition. And, you know, a lot of people come to me and they're like, oh, well, I've been doing social media and I'm not seeing any ROI. And I'm like, well, it's because you're going in about it wrong. You know, it's not ROI. That's what everybody wants. They want to justify why they're spending the money to have a professional do something for them.
Yeah, they want to see it right away.
They want to see immediate results. And I'm like, you're seeing immediate results. It's just not monetary immediate results.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, the thing about it is everyone in the industry is having such a hard time pinpointing how to track it, because it's, what it's doing is it's boosting your SEO, which technically you can't really justify it boosting your SEO. Like, there's no tracking method saying social is contributed this much to your SEO, because
that's an idea right there. If someone can do that, put it into analytics, you're going to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. I mean, and Google's smart about what they do. They're not going to tell you how much they're incorporating it. They're not going to tell you their code. They're just going to say, you should probably be doing this.
Exactly.
And when they come up with, when they buy something, that's important. And when they incorporate something, it's important. And that's when they came up with Google Plus, which was right after Facebook. And it's technically the same thing as Facebook, but no one really uses it.
No one uses it, but you have to have it, because Google says, hey, this is our thing. If you don't have it, we're going to dock you some points.
Right, pretty much. And then
if you have a location, you have to have Google Places, or else you're nowhere.
And Google's just changing the way you search. Just recently we've seen, you know, the beta version of them. Well, it was beta. It's not beta anymore, and I'm sure you guys don't know yet, but you can take an image and you drop it in the search bar, and I kid you not, it will search the image for you. I know.
Seriously.
I kid you not. It does it. I've tried it. It works. Like, you just take an image and you drop
an image of Kevin and I in there and
in
see
the
what
search
comes
box
up.
And it'll search that image, especially like of any kind of like vacation place or anything like that, and you just drop it in the search bar and it'll tell you, you know, the history of that place. I mean, you'll see all kinds of articles anywhere that's related to that place.
Wow.
And obviously it's taking into account SEO and keywords and stuff according to that image. But that's phenomenal, because all these people who have these websites that aren't appropriately tagging their images now are at a loss. Because now
they've told you for years, hey, make sure to tell people what this is.
Hmm. And these companies who have a website for 10 years, imagine how many pictures they have on their website.
Oh my
they
God.
Have to go through now and to boost their SEO.
Tag all their pictures.
Or maybe they can hire somebody.
Hmm. Right, you can hire someone, but again, you could always hire me. But there's people that don't justify that. So now it's... We're always trying to tell people to, you know, stay ahead of the curve. You know, we're not trying to take you away from something that's going to be ever evolving. And it is constantly going to be ever evolving. I tell my clients all the time that Google bought YouTube.
Yeah.
And videos are important to your business, and tagging them is important. But I'm telling you, you're moments away, and I know they're doing this. I don't know anybody at Google, and I don't know anybody at YouTube. But I know this because I've been doing this long enough to make these predictions, and I know they're transcribing videos. They're doing it. They're transcribing videos, and they're pulling keywords from your videos and then using that as a tagging resource. Well, because you can sit here and tag all keywords, type it out all day. That works. But it's, what is your message in your video?
Exactly.
You could completely not be related, but you want to come up there. And they're trying to make smart business. Like,
well, then the SEO behind the transcription, too, is going to boost you up just with the information there. And what YouTube will do, and I don't know, people, if you're going on YouTube, they'll beta test things. They won't even tell you. You'll go to YouTube, and it'll pop up. I remember once I popped up, and I could download every video on YouTube with a download button. They just test that stuff. They throw it out there, and they use everyone as a test market. It's really cool.
Yeah, they don't. There's a lot of things they do that they don't tell you that they're doing.
Exactly. And they're the second largest search engine, right, other than Google.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the guy from the NSA, what's his name?
Snowden?
Snowden. Wasn't that his platform?
His platform was, I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
I just know he was just, he put information all over the place. So.
I understand why we go through all these extra steps when we're posting our shows now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I put in the metadata
click here,
and all
click
that.
Click here, metadata, tags, this and that. And
yeah, it all seems pointless, but now we have someone to tell us not. How does it feel to really be, you're in the, this is the Wild West right now of business. Like, you, there's no degree out there that says social media director. You can't be like, yeah, I went to Harvard for social media. How did you sort of build this job for yourself? How did you get this? Because now everybody, this is the new thing. Everyone wanted to be a graphic designer 5 years ago. They're like, oh, I'll make a bunch of money. Now every kid that knows how to use Twitter is like, well, I'm going to be a social media manager.
I don't think anybody would hire you like that. If they did, God forbid, I don't want them working my
apartment. Or a gamer.
Exactly.
A lot of gamers now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, the funny thing is, though, I interview hundreds of people weekly, and they come in. I'm like, what are you doing on your social media? Well, my partner's brother's sister's daughter is our social media manager, and she made us a Facebook page and a Twitter page.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what they're going about and saying. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's, and we run into that issue all the time. You know, we have people that are like, well, we're just going to have an intern do it, or, you know, we're just going to hire someone, or
that never
our
works.
Assistant is going to do it. And it doesn't work. It doesn't provide them the results. And then they come to us and they have this bad taste in their mouth about online marketing and about social media. And then we try to prove to them, and we give them these tactics that are strategies that we use, and they try to take those back to their secretary and try to get those implemented, and it still doesn't work. So yeah. They're like, it's not working. We're doing exactly what you're saying, but you're not doing it with experience. And I think that comes with anything that you do, and especially when it comes to your business. It's that experience. And you're right. You know, there is no degree, or there was no degree for social media. There is now.
Okay.
There is now. There is a sector, and you can actually, you know, attain certification at Emory for social media management. And wow. Yeah, and I haven't taken the course, but I hear that it's kind of general because they don't know enough about it.
They don't know, and by the time you finish the course, something else might be
it's
the new
change.
Right. And and that's exactly what it is. And I got into the media field years ago. I mean, I was in the media field when I was 15. I decided that I wanted to do extracurricular projects, and I was a nerd. Oops. And
that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. And I was basically in the technology field, and I joined the technology club, and I was the president of it.
Got hit on by all the guys. Like,
no.
They were all nice?
They were all nice.
They were all the nice guys. They asked if they could help you move anything.
They were Sheldons. Leave them alone.
They were like Tom. They were so nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, we all got along, and we decided to do all these crazy things. And the guy that was supposed to be leading us, he was so laid back, and he was so cool. I mean, he was an instructor for sure, but he didn't give us much direction on what we could do, and he didn't limit us on resources. So he said, you know, do whatever you want.
Really
to
great
do.
Teacher,
right? Mm-hmm. And so we decided that we wanted to enter a web design contest, and we joined the big league, and we actually ended up developing a website. We're 15-year-old kids in high school. Freshmen, most of us, and we developed a website that actually won first place state, boom, second place national. And from there, it was just knowing that you can have that. I mean, when you're 15 years old and you're winning things like that, it sort of
opens the doors.
Right, it opens the door, but it makes you feel a certain way. And then you're like, okay, what can I do next? And exactly. I kept doing that, and I kept doing web design. And then
passion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's what it was, and it was just ever evolving. And I worked with different companies, and the title was never social media. It was always account executive or manager or assistant. But I always found a way to incorporate it because I was always the one that was like,
you should do this. You're like, I'm going to take this. You're not paying me to do this, but I'm going to take this stuff and I'm going to do it anyways.
Right. And I got into lots of trouble because I was working like 80 hours and they're like, not ever being compensated for. But that's where, you know, it's life, and that's,
now you're doing it and getting paid for it.
Yeah,
like here I am today
living,
you know,
the dream.
Probably one of the youngest directors, you know, in the industry. But it's that experience, it's that knowledge, and it's actually a benefit to my clients. I tell them all the time, it's a benefit that I'm so young because I'm not closed-minded, I'm not closed off on anything. I joined technology with me, it grew with me, it's still growing with me. So everything that I'm learning about it is new. I'm not this.
You're not burnt out yet.
Right. I'm not burnt out. I'm not closed minded. I'm not.
You're not having to
shutting
do that
out any
curve
ideas,
either.
Saying, "Yeah, business doesn't work that way."
Back in my day.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think you bring up a really interesting and cool point about the education system, and more schools need to have kind of programs like the one you went through, because I know a lot of schools, they highlight the sports and the varsity sports, and people get that kind of feeling when they win a championship or they win games. But it's the same thing for people that might aren't so athletic but very intellectual and geeky like I was, and attack these kind of problems. And you can still have that same feeling and still have that kind of accomplishment. And this actually is something that benefits you in the real world as well.
Yeah, and I never would have thought that it was a benefit to the real world. Because, you know, growing up, it was like...
I'm making websites.
Yeah, you need to be a doctor, you know? You need to be a pharmacist. You need to be this. And
don't you hate that?
Yeah. It's always been that. It's
when people shit on you, you should do this, you should do that. Either. Yeah.
I had it all my life. I think I still kind of have it.
Well, good for you for following your voice. Good for you.
It took me a while. I did actually go down the track of trying pharmacy, and that didn't work.
And you also mentioned another thing, and it's a classic business practice that I teach all businesses. They say, hey, don't do your own accounting, because even if you can do it yourself, you're spending so much time. That time's worth money, and you should just hire someone that's a professional, and you're going to be saving money doing it. Well, it's the same thing, like you were saying earlier, it's the same thing with this social media presence. Yeah, you could have someone else do it. They're not going to do it as well. You're going to actually spending more time, and that time is worth more money than they would actually probably pay you guys to do it right for them, and they wouldn't have to think about it.
Yeah, and it's actually cheaper than you actually hiring a full-time person. I mean, by the time you pay out all the benefits and stuff and having someone giving
on
them...
On your payroll.
Right, yeah. Putting them on payroll. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's not, you're not getting that experience. And what I tell people is we're in, you know, full service based. So we're going to provide you with multiple services. So, yeah, you can hire someone full time, but they're not going to know every little piece of online marketing. There's so many dimensions. I couldn't say that I'm a PPC expert, analytics expert, SEO expert, and a social expert. I have to find a niche.
Well, definitely.
And so that's,
you don't want to be too broad if you want to be the best at what you do.
Well, there's people that think they know it all.
Well, yeah.
Definitely. So. I worked at a restaurant where we tasked the job of social media within the company, and we ended up letting that person go, and they deleted our entire presence.
Yeah.
So that can happen.
That doesn't happen
in
Big
have,
Squid.
No. No, it shouldn't happen anywhere.
How do you mean you deleted the whole... He got rid of
just,
it?
Or? He set it up with his email address and everything, and then he just said, you know what? Okay. Twitter, this is my account. Goodbye.
Yeah, and we had, you know, 20,000 fans. I mean, we had been around for a while, and this person was just given the task of managing it for a short time and took it and just... And yeah, that's just devastating.
So... What do you think the future of social media is? I mean, Facebook right now is trying to be just a media company in general. They're picking up everyone. They bought Oculus Rift recently. I'm seeing, am I going to have to like wear 3D when I meet you over social media? Are we going to be looking at each other? Or what do you think the future is?
I think that's a little bit far. I don't
know.
That's a far stretch. I mean, I don't think it's going to get there
that. They bought the device, so.
They did, and I'm sure they're going to have, you know, a smart tactic of how to use it, but I'm sure they're not going to turn it into an everyday conversation where everything's just going to be 3D.
And do you think that Facebook's going to survive spending billions of dollars acquiring a bunch of different companies?
People underestimate Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, he is, and this is personally, I just think he's a genius. Like, he's buying everything. He's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that, but give me that. Like,
exactly.
And that's exactly what it is. Like,
we're talking to you, Snapchat, for not taking, $3 billion? That was retarded.
I don't have words for that. I didn't understand why you wouldn't
There's
do
a
it.
A 23-year-old that's like, oh, I can sell it for more. $3 billion, dude. You can't make a dime off Snapchat right now, and he's going to give you $3 billion.
Yeah, but...
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
They turned it down.
I'm sorry, guys. Oh. What's Snapchat?
Okay, Snapchat...
You guys, I think I'm the oldest person in the room, and you guys are blowing me out of the water here.
So, Snapchat
I knew what the hell was going on until I started talking to you three. Okay, what the hell?
I can take a picture. Actually, I'm going to let the professional tell you.
It was actually developed to be a sexting app. It's what it was originally developed for. So basically, oh.
Never mind. Okay.
You could take pictures that only last for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. So I take a picture of you, and then I send it to everyone in my contacts list, and I get to pick how many seconds I want them to see it. So I can take an ugly picture.
But then it's gone.
Completely gone, or is it
in
the cloud somewhere to come back and haunt you?
Snowden's got that stuff somewhere.
Yeah. But you know, like we teach kids, you know, anything that is on the internet will always
be
on
the internet.
And basically how they work is what it's doing is it's taking a picture, it's putting it on their server, and you're putting a timeline on it, and they have the coding in there that after 10 seconds... The image is still on their server. It's just the URL changes to a different part of their server. Now, I don't know what that URL is, but I'm sure a hacker could figure it out.
Yeah.
And access.
Actually, I just figured out. I figured out their business model. By the time they're up, they're just going to bribe everyone saying, hey, I'm going to release these pictures on the internet.
That's something they could probably do.
What a mass way for Big Brother to blackmail. Oh, my gosh.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Crazy. Okay.
We have some compromising pictures of you. you were going to run for president? No, I don't know about that.
Not now.
Are you sure you want to run for president?
Not now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's talk about that. So why are people hiring? One, I need to know why it's called Big Squid. It's been dying. Do you know? Am I putting you on the spot?
No, you're not. Of course, I know why it's called Big Squid. There's no fancy story to why it's called Big Squid. Really, there's really not.
There's an aha moment.
It just has a lot of hands. And I read the website.
You?
I looked at
no,
it.
No. Are you really Big Squid? Are you?
Are you the Big Squid?
Are you Big Squid?
Moniker. That's her moniker. She's like a hacker. Like, I'm Big Squid.
Big Squid was developed. The CEO was, you know, working with another company that did web design. And he was basically developing the online marketing sector along with a web design company. And the name of their company was Underwater, some kind of underwater theme. I think it was called Deep Blue. And he wanted to stay along the theme. And
I think
so,
I know somebody used to work for Deep Blue.
So he came up with Big Squid Interactive, and that's really the story of. But okay. If anyone can think of something better, we would love to have that story.
Really? Well, if I want to compete with him, I'm going to be Big Octopus or Giant Octopus.
That's fine. If you want to sit here and learn all of it,
I'm just going to hire you and I'll make you the CEO of my company, and then I'm set. Like I'm
no, there
sit
is
back
a giant squid, right? That.
That exists. A giant squid actually
giant
does
squid.
Exist. So walk us through just a customer engagement, why people should go with you, how you guys help them find out what the best social media is for them, and why people should really come to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we offer, you know, all kinds of things. We offer full service and we offer consulting. We offer free audits and free consultations. So if someone is interested in...
You can't be free.
You really can't. If someone is interested in social media services or they don't know, you know, if they're doing the right thing or they don't know, you know, how to take their company to the next level, they come to us and they say, hey, this is, you know, where I'm at. Take a look. I do a full service audit for them. I take a look at, you know, what they're doing, where their trends are, where their engagement is, where their traffic is, and if there is room to improve. Some companies do come in with phenomenal social media platforms because it is about being creative. And if you have a creative assistant, it happens. I mean, I was a very creative assistant. I wasn't trying to be social. It didn't exist then. But there could be a very creative assistant that's doing it right. And it does happen. Not often, but it does happen. And when they come in with stuff like that, you know, I'm like, I don't think you need full service. You're doing a great job and you're doing good at it. You know, let us do just your reporting. And that's exactly what we do. We do the reporting and that reporting helps this creative assistant just push it further. So it's not with us. It's not about upselling. It's not about constantly trying to figure out a way to make money. It's about how you're going to make money. And if you're making money, then we're okay. We want to help you. And that's what we're about.
Well, you guys are building relationships, and from that, you're building your reputation. So even though you might only be doing a small service for them, they're going to tell all their friends, like, "Hey, we went there. They didn't charge a charge. They didn't try to. We tried to give them our business and pay them money, and they wouldn't take it. And they just gave us this because we were already doing a great job. So that's huge,
right? Yeah. And it is. It's huge for, you know, businesses that are doing it right. And it sometimes it's not. You know, people come in and they're looking for. They're not doing it right, and they're looking for that ROI, like. You know, how many months is it going to take me to turn around this many sales? And I'm like, I don't know. Because that's not an answer that I can give you. But I can guarantee you that, you know, your SEO will be improved. And I can guarantee you that your web traffic will be improved. And I'll guarantee you that, you know, people will be engaged with you.
Yeah, you're building relationships. It's a customer retention tool. It makes the customers feel valued. So you're building lifelong customers. And the lifelong value of a customer is huge for these different companies.
Right. You have to be consistent and you have to give them valuable content, really.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. A company comes in, and I always have this problem when people come on. They think they want to be part of every social group, and like a business comes in, mm-hmm. and they just do B2B, and they're like, well, I need to be on Pinterest and Facebook, mm-hmm. and this and that. How do you just get them away from that?
Yeah, I mean, we have businesses that come in, they think Facebook is – everybody needs to be a part of Facebook. Every business needs to be a part of Facebook. It has – you know, because it does have over 2 billion users. So, you know –
that's not many. A lot of – how many listeners we have?
You know,
right now.
A lot of businesses do think that, and that's not the case. You know, when they come into us, we take a look at the industry. You know, what's your market? Where's your industry? And where is that audience? And I know you were talking about that earlier, mm-hmm. when you were saying finding that audience. And that's exactly what it is in any business. It's finding that audience. And that's what we do.
Well, I was I had a show about 2 weeks ago, and I had teenagers and young adults on the show. And their comment about Facebook was, that's mom and dad's place. We go different places now. And that's where they go for their social media. And some of them are the ones you mentioned. Pinterest Snapchat. And stuff. Yeah, other places. They said, no, we direct our parents to Facebook. We go other places now where they were.
They're fooling us with their social presence there. Like, I'm going over to Betsy's house.
And all it's right. their fake profile. Yeah.
Seriously. And I was going, oh, man, blew me out of the water.
And a lot of people are challenged by that. They're like, oh, we're losing. Is that going to affect our business that we're losing
all these
fans? And
Facebook likes don't mean that much anymore.
And I tell them, I was like, you know, really, like, they're not going to buy from you anyways. Like, let them leave. Like, that's your reach going further. Like, if these people are dropping off of a platform, that means they're creating a bigger pool of people, of buyers. You're dropping out those 13, 14, 15-year-olds. Then they're going to get into the industry when they get older, and they're going to have to be back in it because that's how they keep up with business. That's how they keep
up with
companies.
Stay ahead of the youngins.
Right. So I don't think it's a bad thing that Facebook is losing, you know, the younger generation. I think it's better.
It started with the younger generation. Now it's kind of evolving.
And I think it's going to continue evolving. I don't think it's ever going to stop.
So what's the match for Facebook now? What's the competition for Facebook?
There's so much competition, but at the same time, it's in, even though it may not be in the running lead, it's in the running lead on the back end because it's buying everything. I mean, when you're not Facebook, when you're like media related, so say you're a wedding planner and you do all these weddings and you decide Facebook's not working for you, but you get on Instagram. Well, guess who owns Instagram?
Facebook.
Gotcha. Okay.
So then they end up keeping the Facebook because from Instagram, you can basically push the post to happen. So, hey, are you active on Facebook? No, but I push all my Instagram posts. Yep. So technically, you're active.
Instagram powered by Facebook.
Yeah. What about
SourcePoint Coaching powered by Facebook?
That's okay.
We should talk about Twitter some.
I was going to ask
Kevin
you,
and I are pretty active trying to.
And that's exactly what Twitter is. Yeah. Twitter is different. It's a completely different platform.
Zuckerberg try to buy Twitter or something recently? Wasn't there something they tried to buy it? He said some god awful loud enormous number.
Well, I know that's what happened with Snapchat.
There has been rumors that, you know, that Zuckerberg is going to try to buy Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't see the possibility of that just because
it had such a strong IPO.
Yeah, it's just. Anything can happen. I mean, he's Zuckerberg. I don't underestimate him and his power at all and his money for sure.
Power of the hoodie.
He has so much of it. I'm sure he can buy anything he wants. And he's
Mr. Hoodie?
He's doing a great job, but Twitter's different. It's constant. It's that. Basically, it's telling somebody where you're at all times. It's for people who are in the industries of trying to be constant. It's not for every business. You know, do you really want to know what McDonald's doing constantly? Probably not. I'm frying your fries. I'm frying your burger in the same fries. Oil. Like, you don't want to hear about that.
I spit in your burger because you were rude to me.
Right. So, certain things you don't want to hear about. But
hashtag gross.
Business Radio X. You know, you want to know who's the speaker coming on in the next 15 minutes, who you're going to see in the next week, you know, who I should look forward to in a month. You want to know all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Twitter is going to be beneficial.
Do you actually go in and respond for people, like for your clients, if they get like a negative tweet or
we respond, we comment, we retweet, we mention. There's just so much strategy you do if there is a comment, whether it's bad or good, there's a response that is immediately followed. Definitely,
that's good.
Usually within 24 hours.
Why only 140 characters?
I did not make Twitter, so I don't really know.
I'm going to tell you right now that, one, people don't have a long attention span, so they can do that. And two, you're telling me I can't do something? You're like, you only can have 49 characters. You're like,
because it's that platform, you know? Imagine if you were typing paragraphs, then how am I supposed to know what the next person is saying on this feed? So if you go to Facebook and you look at a feed, it moves slow. Where if you go on Twitter and you have, you know, following lots of big corporations, your feed is just going to be like straight down. Because
I'm sorry, do that again. I got you.
Also,
you
got I feel like I learned something. I can go on your Twitter and look at it and say, okay, I got a factoid right there. That's great. But I don't know how to read well, so I'm not going to read paragraphs or stuff. I mean, literally, kids today, they're on Netflix, they're on everything.
Yeah.
They are not reading a book to them. Like, you hand them a 200-page book that's like a mountain. They're like, how am I going to accomplish this?
Seriously. Yeah.
So I love Pinterest. I use it often.
I keep
Kevin
my recipes,
does too. Kevin got on
cooking.
There for recipes
just
recently.
Yeah.
How would you navigate Pinterest for business?
Ah, good question.
Yeah.
If you're not in the wedding industry, I can see it for that.
Yeah.
But.
Pinterest is very tricky. You know, that's what people thought it was. They thought, oh, hey, there's going to be all these little kids, these little girls planning their wedding 20 years in advance, picking out their wedding dress and their flowers.
And then changing it two days later.
My gorgeous ring and this gorgeous man that probably doesn't ever exist. Yeah, that's what it was for. That's exactly what it was created for. And then it changed.
Something happened.
And now they have business.pinterest.com. And that's how you sign up for a business account. And you can convert your personal account into a business account.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right, because there's companies that, it wasn't before. So now you can convert them too. And you just, it's really easy to do. You can, it literally says convert into business account.
Well,
and then you convert it.
Definitely, that's huge.
But how it works is it's obviously good for the business industry. And it's good only for certain businesses. And it's when you're selling products, it's good for selling products. Because what you're doing is you're taking those keywords and you're putting it in there. So let's say you're selling magazines and you don't really know where to start. Well, there's certain ways and certain ways that you can tag your description that is basically telling someone where to go to buy it. So even recipes, you know, you can talk about how to make this amazing fit meal and then you tag them to go to your website to buy a meal plan from you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of using it in a different way. You know, fitness trainers, they use it as well. They put all these fit pictures of these sexy girls with their abs doing crunches. And it's like, this can be you 30 days. And then they put their website and a link to
call to action.
Right. A call to action. Mm-hmm. And they take it back to their fit training program, you know, and that's exactly what it is. It's just being creative. And that's what it is. Like, if you can get creative with how you sell things, you can sell anything.
Yeah. John, are you listening to this?
Let's get on that. No, and it's great for graphic designers too. My fiance, she's a graphic designer, and she's followed hugely. She got put on some list on Mashable, like top 10 graphic designers to follow, and it just shows their aesthetic and sort of their whole range and what they can pick, and that's helped her get so many different jobs.
We're going
to Bali for free because a company found her through Pinterest and hired her to do stuff.
Well, that doesn't suck.
No, not at all. So I'm trading up. So, so
she likes to hear that.
So let our listeners, how do they reach out? How do they hire you guys? I mean, you have such a wealth of information, and I mean, this would be beneficial to really any kind of business. And it's a free consultation, guys.
Yep,
they'll audit you for free. So there's really no excuse to go out and
how many free consultations are free?
The first consultation is free.
We should have you do a free consultation for Business Radio X.
Okay, that's not a problem. Okay. I'll get your Twitter handle, your Facebook, and all your other platforms, and I'll run an audit, and I'll give you a full report that will basically show you, you know, where your traffic is, where your trends are, how well your posts are performing, and where your industry is at, and where that traffic is coming from an online source. So is it coming from Google?
Actually,
is it coming from your website?
That'll be huge. I had a Twitter problem the other day. So we have affiliates branching out.
Do you have medical care?
I don't have medical care, but it was really interesting because we have affiliates in different areas now. We have one in Buckhead, and I mean, they handle everything on their own. Well, he wanted to get these award winners in from a conference on there, so he was tweeting every award winner. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out the lady, Jim Bonet, startup chicks that basically handles all of it, big name in Atlanta. She's in here on my show that day. So Buckhead's doing something I don't know about. She comes in here and she's yelling at me and she's like, hey, you know, you could have just talked to me and I could get you and get all these people in the studio. And I was like, I didn't even know about it. So how do you manage when once we let other people out in the wild with their own Twitter pages, but they're
each of our studio has their own handle now.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. So
which is probably a smart tactic for you guys, so you don't run into that issue of getting, you know, compiled into one big segment. So that may be a benefit for you. You know, would it be a benefit to have that many business Facebook pages? I don't know. I don't think so either. I wouldn't think so, but it just depends on what level you guys grow to. You know, like McDonald's, and I like to use McDonald's as an example because I research it all the time because they're a big corporation, so I use them as an example. They have different Twitters and different Facebook pages for different locations. And the reason for that is because you can check into them, not because they're tweeting or they're Facebook posting.
Right.
It is because you can check into
analytics
as well as a better presence. Like, hey, here I am, awesome biscuit at 3:00 in the morning. someone's getting out of bed to go get a biscuit at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It might just be me.
And also, I go back, if they get a negative review, it's not like, well, McDonald's, oh, I had a horrible cheeseburger here. It's like, oh, I had a horrible cheeseburger on. Exactly.
Like, you're immediately pulling out of the drive-thru line because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would I know how my company's doing or my analytics are going? How do you, is there a formula, a company, or a button you push that says...
BigSquid.com, I believe.
Yeah. You know, it says here's
Big Squid Interactive.
Yeah, like how do like people ask me, they say, how many people are listening to your show on Legacy to Radio or even Radio X? So how do we find, I don't know, that's, to me it's magical. How do you find that out?
It's a bunch of stuff. It's not just one button, it's multiple buttons. It's pulling different analytics, it's seeing where your sources are coming from and then finding out how many people are actually live on that source at what time. You know, mm-hmm. we're looking at, not only are we looking at where the source is, but mm-hmm. we're looking at how long are they on your site? How long are they staying? What pages did they visit? What page performed the best? There may be pages where someone's on it for 5 seconds and you need to know why they're only on 5 seconds. Yeah. Like, why did six people come to this page and left within 5 seconds? Then you go and you find out, oh, because that page is 10 years old, there's no reason for someone to be on it.
Picture of Kevin, you know? On there. So.
So you can do that?
Yeah, we do everything.
Okay.
Oh.
We do it all.
Well, all right. So how do our listeners reach out, contact you? Again, just the coordinates. And how do they get you personally to work for them? Because I know they all just want to hire you now.
And I also, yeah. before I want to hear you say her name again.
Porvy? Did I do better that time? I'm horrible.
Are you reading something? Because that's kind of cheating.
I'm not. The way it's read is I could never do it that way. But I'm trying to remember. But it's like that. So, but is it Porvy?
It's Porvy.
I got it. There we go. Boom.
He's just looking at this.
I wrote it down too.
It's P-U-R-V-I is how it's spelled. So that I mean, it looks like pervy, and that doesn't sound complimentary calling someone. Yeah, so.
I was, in case there was like an SAT or something afterwards, so, I wrote it down.
I didn't write it down, but thanks for putting me on the spot. That's what we do here at Business Radio X, so to all our hosts. But again, contact information?
Yeah, most definitely. You can contact me at 855-55-SQUID. The directory will definitely say Porvy Patel. It won't say Courtney, so
don't.
You won't have a hard time finding me.
Well, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
All right, and Jack, thanks for coming in and gracing us with your presence. So.
Yeah, it was awesome. hell, I'm just happy to be here. It's all good. It's good
all
stuff.
Right.
Good
well,
stuff.
And also tune into Legacy Leader Later Radio this Friday at 1 p.m. on Midtown on the Midtown channel.
Yeah, I got a new producer. Christy's going to be with me this Friday. Yeah, she's a fireball. You
definitely.
Met her?
Krista. Yeah.
Krista. Yeah, have you met
there
her?
We go. Yeah. I was like, speaking of names. Who is Christy? I was just going to go with it, so I was going to let you
watch. I'll get a text in a minute. You got my name right.
You're just on a name calling roll.
Exactly. So I do what I can. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park, our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Meeting Pros.